There we go. We have a brownfield job development toolbox, and we like to we have post-session notes where we talk about and summarize some of the things we talk about, and we like to put them up on the toolbox just in case someone misses it. But what we were saying is that Clarice is in the beginning of a really neat expansion of a program, because she was talking about, if I'm correct, Clarice, you're doing this one now, and then you're going to move into the brownfields arena this summer. You're talking about that. Is that correct?
That's correct. After these 12 weeks, we have instructors on hand to educate really anyone who wants to take a class here at Bucks County Community College in the brownfield arena, the wind and the geothermal energy, as well as our PV solar. We offer online classes and hands-on classes. We actually have a nacelle situated here in our building, which is a portion of a Roman Haas warehouse. So we are recycling the building and using it as part of our sustainable foundation for our students.
That's great. And you haven't even applied for EPA assistance yet, which
you
probably can. The grant RFPs will be coming out in about a month. And at that time, of course, you could build upon the program you've got. But you've got an interesting example of planning your program out, and how do you go about defining your program definition and scope? And we were talking about these areas of environmental and these areas of energy, and you're actually working backwards. From the way I described it, you're doing installation in the energy area,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to move into the environmental area and expand into the environmental area. Do you have any plans to do weatherization work at all, or have you not considered that at all?
No, we have, actually. We are going to be working in coordination with Penn State Harrisburg campus, which is their weatherization program, and see what we can open up. That's been in the talks as far as what we can do. A lot of the reason why we started the way we did with PB Solar and the installation process is based on our partnerships. We're partnered with IEC Chesapeake and a number of other solar companies, Gamesa for our wind and also for solar work. So based on our partners that are helping us with produce these programs, will help streamline how we're going to and what programs we're going to be bringing to our students. Our goal would be to, within 2 years, be able to make the classwork that we have here able to get you students to be able to get an associate's degree in weatherization and environmental remediation as well.
Sometimes it's serendipity in that you see someone who's willing to sponsor you. If you start a certain program, it's almost a reverse needs assessment. Someone wants this badly enough, so the word is out that if someone's interested in starting a program, there might be funding available. So all of a sudden, you start putting these partnerships together. If you were in a community where you were a blank slate, what you might do is do a needs assessment and find out what kind of needs are in your community, whether or not there's need for weatherization. The scary thing about weatherization is that people have jumped into it wholeheartedly because they identify green jobs as an area that we may be able to expand the economy and create new jobs. And there's been such an emphasis on creating new jobs in this rough economy that all of a sudden lots of money has been put into weatherization. Well, that does create the job, but we're getting some feedback from some of the grantees that I would be enough to raise caution flags. Will the jobs be there? And we've seen some areas where grantees have said the money has not hit the streets yet and the jobs aren't there. And/or another comment is we've got a lot of organized labor and there are people on the bench, and the last thing they're really interested in is us putting more people on the bench in terms of the organized, the unions, and that the weatherization, at least the insulation part of it, is often going to construction workers who might have worked in a very similar area and are picking up the skills to do the insulation work, and that there may not be the need out there for a new training program. And so it, just a word of caution. And now, having said that, it seems like in the Northeast, the money, so to speak, has flowed down and hit the streets. The reports we're getting from New Jersey, GLOA has gotten several of these, haven't you, GLOA? On New Jersey has gotten tremendous success in weatherization.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that Lynn is not on the call. She could describe to us the they've not only gotten state money, but they've graduated people who are getting great jobs, and they don't see
starting their own business.
Right, no slack in demands. They're producing inspectors and the inspector auditors and installers, and they have quite an extensive weatherization academy. That's up in New Jersey. I think in Boston they're also experiencing lots of demand in the weatherization arena. There are some other parts of the country, though, that isn't happening. And so it's very local. And so the concern of whether you pick up weatherization or environmental may have a lot to do with your locality. And there is definitely, we always stated that you need to do a thorough needs assessment. And one would ask, well, what's a needs assessment? And they take a lot of forms, a lot of identities. Some people, community colleges, would typically send out survey forms to do needs assessment. We tend to be getting away from that. While that is a good way to do it, sometimes people don't get the right kind of responses because these are very narrow fields. And so we're finding, a survey might be good, direct contact is better. And last week we talked about cleanups in my community. It's a site on the EPA website, which we'll put in the notes that you could go to. It talks about the environmental cleanups in your community. You may want to see to what extent there's cleanups going on and who's doing those cleanups and what are the contractors and if there's a need for that. Is there lead paint? If you're in an older community or an urban area, certainly Kansas City is one, Chicago, Boston, all the northern cities would have this need for lead. Some of the newer southern and western cities may not have as much demand for lead remediation and are what we call RRMP.
If you're looking for general type information on jobs, energy jobs and that type of thing, I just wanted to let everybody know about one of the things that we did. This is GLOA, by the way. Besides working with EPA and Mike and everybody on the Brownfields Initiative, I also work for an organization called the Advanced Technology, Environmental, and Energy Center. And one of the things that we did, and we're funded mainly, that program anyway, is funded mainly by the National Science Foundation. And last year, NSF charged us with gathering information from all across the country on energy jobs that are available, jobs that are going to be coming up, that type of thing, commonalities between different regions. And the product of that entire project is a report that talks about the summaries. It gives a summary of the jobs that are going to be upcoming in different areas of the country, and these are all related to energy. It also gives commonalities across the nation and that type of thing, and that report would give all of you guys kind of a snapshot view of the types of jobs that are going to be available or have a need for in, you know, upcoming months, years, that type of thing. So that report is available as a free download on the ATEC website if you're interested. Mike, maybe you could put that in the notes and give them a link to the ATEC website. It's very simple. It's just ATEEC.org. But I think that it would be very beneficial to everyone to be able to see the types of needs that are available all across the country and the commonalities between them.
That sounds great.
The big issue, though, is if you're going to do weatherization, you need to find out who's doing what in your community, because There may be some very large programs that already exist that are getting stimulus money that you may not be aware of, and they may be putting out tons of trained people. And if that is the case, you may want to either partner with them or you may want to steer clear. Or there may be such a big demand that there's room for two programs. But we're finding there, because of this influx of money, there was a lot of programs started. And it's every community is different. And there may be big demand, there may be no demand. The demand may be filled or it just may be unfilled. So definitely, in a word, do a needs assessment. And as we were saying, it could be very informal in terms of starting to make phone calls and start to check out who the players in your area. And Google is great. You can start Googling weatherization training in Kansas City or weatherization training in Bucks County, or and see who the players are, if any, there are any websites up there or if there's anyone that's out there. And all of a sudden you find out that someone 3 miles away has just been awarded $3 million to develop weatherization training, you know, and that's the way that works. And it's amazing that people may not be aware of these flows of money. There may also be programs that have been funded in your area that haven't been organized yet because this money is fairly new, and it might give you a great opportunity to partner in on the ground floors where they're just organizing, particularly if you've got a program getting started. And of course, in your case, it might be worth a scan to see who's doing weatherization. And the neat thing is you are in a climate that the demand for weatherization is going to be high, and it might just be a decision that whether you're going to do inspectors, auditors, construction workers, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these programs are paired with construction workers, and so it's one thing to look at in planning your program. Do you want to have a dual-track program? In other words, many, for example, out west, many of the programs are actually started as construction workers, they evolved into the environmental remediation or into the weatherization from the construction side. And they're giving people construction skills. And then in addition, they're providing the weatherization and or the environmental remediation testing skills to a previous skill. And they're getting funds through Department of Labor and young community developers, the organizations like that that have been doing construction training for a long time. And those are great organizations to partner with, or at least, again, to see what they're doing, to see how it fits in your program. So, but what we talked about is the kind of the venue of environmental versus dual track and construction versus weatherization. I think we shift on the other side for a second and talk about what, again, Clarice talked about was our participants and our target group. And that kind of fits into what we're going to be doing our training. Are we going to, for example, go after veterans? Are we going after disabled veterans? There were about 7 or 8 years ago, the Veterans Administration actually came to us and talked to us about trying to get this program started for disabled vets. And there was a big need. And at the time, we were looking at what we call Phase 1 and Phase 2 environmental assessments. And these were jobs where you'd go to the Phase 1 environmental assessment is basically to do a real estate study to see what had been on property for the last 100 years or so. And if, for example, if there was a battery plant or a paint manufacturing plant that was there 30 years ago and was since closed, there's a good chance it's going to be lead on the property. So the whole idea was disabled vets would be a perfect match in terms of matching training vets who this very, very specific target group who might not be able to walk would love to work in the environment in the county assessor's office or the county records doing Phase 1 assessments. And the whole idea was it was a project that evolved from the participant group backwards. So let's find veterans and let's see what they could do, and let's fit a job that they could do, and then let's do the training to fit the job. So it was in planning their brownfields project, it was almost a reverse training. reverse planning process where we weren't necessarily doing a needs assessment of the community. We knew there was a demand for phase ones, but then we took our participant group and then we worked backwards and developed curriculum from there. The same approach might go for other target groups, for example, other disabled people that might not be veterans, might be your participant target group, and you might work backwards. In Milwaukee, we had, if I'm correct, a brownfield job training program for women, and it was focused on women. And again, they would provide a set of skills that would work with women. There's ex-offender programs. We've got several ex-offender programs. If you're going to work with a target group of ex-offenders, you may have to back your curriculum out to make sure that they could get the jobs. There, if there were security clearances or security issues involved, it could be that someone with felony records could not perform those duties. So you would have to make sure that you developed your curriculum and your training around the background of your participants and work backwards. Is anyone out there? Now, Clarice is talking about a very specific target group in terms of planning her program. Anyone else do any targeting in terms of their participant groups? Anyone?
This is Amy from CSAT, and this is my first time on the call, but right now we are the community action agency in our county, and we are planning a right now we also have a local conservation corps, and our corps is doing weatherization currently through the LIHEAP program with CSD, but we're also going to be working on an EPA job training grant in collaboration with the Tulare Redevelopment Agency, and that will be focusing on the weatherization as well as the environmental technician. But our core target group is at-risk youth, and basically ages 18 to 20, 24, excuse me.
Excellent. And now here's an example, and you may want to get in touch, and we can put you in touch with the people up in New Jersey, New Jersey Youth Corps, and they've had a very successful program in developing state coalitions working with youth, although they don't have as narrow a target group as you do. You have quite a narrow target group. But you can design your program. Now, here's a good example in terms of planning your program. You're going to plan your program almost in reverse based around the jobs that would be available for at-risk youth,
right,
age 24. And you'll have to work backwards to see what skills, what jobs are going to be available when they finish their training, and then design your curriculum around that. Excellent. Are you going to do life skills training in addition?
Yes. Yeah, that's part of our existing curriculum with the core right now.
Excellent.
And we started to line up. We have employers in place that will be working with them to, do the job training, on-the-job training component.
Excellent. Well, we did our 30 minutes. We're going to meet again in a couple of weeks and just have another little call, conference call to talk about. We're going to start talking about certifications next time and getting our program started. And there's a slew of certifications that kind of flows into what we've talked about here in terms of weatherization and environment. And what you can expect from us is we're going to send some post-session notes. And if anyone, that will also have the names and emails of everyone. And if you reply back to me, we'll make sure everyone gets your comments. Or if you have some questions, or there's some websites that are not in the post-session notes that you want to find out about, just drop an email and we'll send it out to everyone where that site is and go from there. What we're going to do in the next several sessions is start talking very specifically about some of the certifications that are needed to set up these programs that we've talked about planning.
Excuse me, this is Veronica from Bridgeport, Connecticut. I didn't catch your name.
Okay. Well, GLOW is, and myself, my name is Mike Senyu. I'm with HMTRI, and GLOW is also with HMTRI.
Yeah, we know you, GLOW.
Okay. Okay. I'm Mike Senyu. Okay. Yes,
thank
Veronica.
You.
We've been working with Brownfield grantees since they started, and the basis, our function is basically to act as facilitators, to kind of help people along if they need information, to help them get the information, to kind of share information among grantees and non-grantees, people who want to start programs and people that have them, people like Warren, people like from NJIT or New Jersey Youth Corps, Boston Jobs for Youth. And so the whole idea is to try to mix up and share information so that we might be able to get some ideas from other people on how we can improve our programs and expand them.
The notes and the recordings of these sessions, too, are also on the Brownfields Toolbox. If you go there and go under PLC Corner, PLC as in Professional Learning Community, the very first topic under there is session notes and session recordings. So if you miss one of these sessions or you want to go back and check something out, you can always look there too.
And we'll send you both session notes and then a reminder for the next one in 2 weeks. And it's always Wednesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll just talk to you all in a couple weeks.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Good day.
Okay, bye.